Welcome to the Frederick Faith Debate on Frederick's News Radio, 930 WFMD. I'm Troy Skinner. Jonathan Schweitzer, Senior Pastor of Crossroads Valley Chapel, on the show again this week. So is Tim May, Pastor of Pleasant View Church of the Brethren. You might know him as a man who wears other hats, too, but in the context of this show, he's a pastor. Pastor Tim.
That's it. That's a
on the Faith Debate. Brought to us by Putman Plumbing and Heating. How can we make you smile? We've been doing a series of shows about the Brethren tradition, and we've kind of spent an awful lot of time talking about taking up arms.
Yeah,
and
you got me all riled up last week. You got me all riled up.
We almost got in a fight.
I wouldn't fit to be around.
Yeah, Pastor Tim, he got out his gun and said, "If we talk about this anymore,
one more time, bang bang halt, bang bang halt."
You know what I'm interested in? Isn't it true that there's a peace training in the Church of the Brethren about how to be a peacemaker?
Yes.
Almost like you could be like a professional level peacemaker.
Sure.
Yeah, tell me a little bit about that. That's interesting.
As you see, it has not stirred a lot of my interest. I only know that we do offer it. I am not a participant.
You're like a warmonger, aren't you?
You all have. I spent a whole week since the last show just being totally upset about this. I think the last thing you had me say was I was going to take up arms to defend Christ.
Yes, yes. We'll clarify that, too.
Let's do that for... I love my church. Please don't. That's right. But we have a... the Church of the Brethren has its one of the greatest things in the world is we have a Brethren Relief. It's located in New Windsor, Maryland, and we do some of the greatest worldwide relief for famine and floods and everything. It's an unbelievable project. And I don't have the exact name of our peace resource system, but we do have training in the peace movement. We actually have degrees now in our seminary that you can graduate with a peace degree. And I think that's wonderful for those who are pursuing that.
And what do they do with that? They go to Israel and Gaza and try to help peace there. They go down to where there's genocide, and they go in to engage the peace people involved and to help to bring peace.
Yeah, and they do that, Jonathan, with the use of relief aid. They always have their lead-ins with that.
So the lead-in is the aid.
Right. Let me give you a fact.
To give a platform to win them to the idea of reconciling with their enemies.
There are more Church of the Brethren members in Africa than in the United States. We have no Church of the Brethren churches in Europe. So our growth and our missionary work is all in Africa now. Of course, the islands, the Pacific Islands, and things such as that, and it's growing by leaps and bounds, and it is really beautiful in that area. And a lot of the peace people there too, because you're dealing with a different kind of a tribal peace, and it's really beautiful what the church is doing.
Now, when you're dealing with that kind of peace, you're dealing with very political issues, you know, right? Because you have to interact with the people at the highest levels of politics, and it seems to me that if you're effective at winning peace between peoples, then it could be argued that you ended up being
political,
powerful politically, right? And so, is there some concern about that? About how to maintain purity and being in the world but not of it? You know,
you're saying
you haven't been as involved with that.
No, I'm not
personally.
And also, I know that
it's in your tradition. Yeah,
it's in our tradition. But there have been senators and congressmen elected who are members of the Church of the Brethren.
Okay,
Obviously, they didn't take that.
Should I ask if they tend to be Democrats or Republicans?
They're Republicans, but I won't say that. I think another thing good about the Brethren is they vote as Christians, and that's a different way to vote. I don't know if I'm a Democrat or Republican. I vote for people.
Yeah.
And I think that's important, and I want to see their value system. I don't care their color, race, or party. I really don't. Mm. And I've done it all my life, and I hope to continue to do that. Yeah. If I were asked to be elected, I couldn't be elected just as although I have to register as one party, and I don't really put a lot of care on what.
Well, again,
party.
I feel like the issue of taking up arms in involvement with politics and those. You know, it helps to get a feel for, you know, the Church of the Brethren and its background, you know, and kind of where they come from.
Right.
Which is, coming back to, we've spent a lot of time on these issues, but, you know, I think it makes sense in the Church of the Brethren context.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And this is an esoteric comment.
Yes.
It's not necessarily meant to be a question, but if you would like to, you know, opine, you're certainly welcome to.
I don't, but I'm sure others, you know, other people would.
But we're talking about peace and, you know, going out and having peace training and being peacemakers and Sermon on the Mount and all that sort of stuff, as though everybody's in agreement and of one accord on how to define peace as understood
and
scripturally.
How, right.
So I'm not sure that, you know, the common understanding of peace as political peace, absence of war, all that sort of stuff is really what the Bible is talking about. When Jesus is talking about blessed is the peacemaker, well, where's the root of true peace? True peace is found only in Christ. And so if you're going to make peace, you're going to preach the gospel. You're going to share the word. You're going to make disciples. So if you are living your life as a missionary, so to speak, if you're a walking sermon in shoes, then some would say that you are a peacemaker. It has absolutely nothing to do with geopolitical concerns or absence of violence or anything like that. Personally, I kind of hold to that view, and I found it to be a helpful view because it helps to make sense of the other parts of the Bible that seem to be opposed to that. Like, wait a minute, when God said go wipe out all the Canaanites, how is that peaceful?
Mm-hmm.
But it's the advance of the kingdom. It's God's purposes and his will being executed, and if you're advancing God's will, you are making peace. Even though, from a worldly point of view, it looks like the absence of peace, from God's perspective, it is peace. So anyway, I'm kind of saying that as a comment and a commentary,
yeah,
but if you have a reaction, you're certainly welcome to share.
Oh, I'm sure we have a reaction. And I think I agree with you. The peacemakers that I know from our faith are exactly that. They're walking witnesses of Christ, and that's their missionary. That's their mission, and we certainly, hold them back one bit for doing that. I think each of us as Christians, or each of the Christians, and have the same purpose. I think we're all, if we are the practicing Christian, then we are peacemakers.
Okay, I have a deep thought.
Uh-oh.
But I'm gonna. I'm
wow!
Gonna
it only took us 4 years, 4 months to get to this point.
Yeah. We should celebrate. Break out the champagne. The issue of being a peacemaker is so hackneyed and jaded in ever since the 60s, you know, that, yes, that peace, all the peace, pot, Woodstock, make love, not war, you know, that whole crowd, I feel like has given me the impression, Pastor Tim, that anybody that is a peacemaker and a peace guy or a pacifist or anything that leans in that direction must be a flaming liberal, you know, that wants nothing to do with God, that wants communism, that wants socialism, you know, all these kinds of things that is oriented towards, you know, Marx and Nietzsche, which interestingly enough wouldn't quite make sense because the ones that claim to be peacemakers are always the ones that are throwing bombs and throwing rocks and you know, they go out to these peace rallies and they're the most violent things anywhere in the nation, right? And
exactly.
And the reality is that I'm just now coming to the place where I'm like, huh, I feel like I can trust your approach to peace because you're not any of those things. You're not
right.
You're not socialist. You're not communist. You're not you're not going to go out and, you know, agitate for peace,
right,
which doesn't make sense in the first place, but you're going to work towards peace. Like, do you find yourselves like attracted to the UN and participate Church of the Brethren people, you know, to working at those kinds of levels?
I can only speak personally, Pastor Jonathan, but when I speak it,
I use the word Pastor Tim. I didn't mean to be so formal with you.
Yeah, my wife will say, well, was he mad at you?
Yeah.
No,
yeah,
he wasn't. No.
Didn't use his middle name, so
no,
he couldn't have been too mad.
He can't even pronounce my middle name.
Pastor Tim May the Third.
But I'm German, so I'll tell you later. But anyhow, I agree with you. We have another thing we have is in the world, we're trying to feed the world through the Heifer Project.
Yeah.
And that's a project where it originally started, where we sent animals to
buy them a heifer.
Buy them a heifer, or buy them two.
Yeah.
You know, and then let them go from there. Now the Heifer Project is a multi-million-dollar business that sends money and animals and feed and things such as that.
Yeah.
And that's grown all over the world.
Yeah.
So you can see that's our piece. Our piece is bringing Christ to people. So,
But do you find yourselves, okay, and again, I'm asking you to speak for brethren, people. Mm. Do you find yourselves then, as a result of your orientation towards peace, rubbing shoulders with some of these peaceniks that you know, make love, not war guys out there, do you find yourself ever connecting with them, or that they're attracted to you, or that they want to invite you to their peace conference? And you know,
I think the latter is closer to the truth, that they're attracted to us.
Yeah.
I just came back from annual convention not long ago, and I looked on the stage and I saw the wonderful group of invited guests and pastors and bishops and things such as that, and I love those titles. But I see them trying to attach themselves to us. We are not out after the make love, not war type of people, the hippies in the past. And I don't mean that as hippies, but I mean as that movement. We're not in communes. We're not, you know, I don't see
that.
Well,
like, for example, there's even a whole theological orientation.
Sure.
That I identify as a theological liberalism that throws out Genesis 1 through 10, that throws out the miracles of the Bible, in the, you know, kind of a Thomas Jefferson, a Jeffersonian approach, yes, to scriptures, that would also say that all of those passages that deal with sin and deal with hell, you know, we'll just kind of cut those out. And we just want a God of love, and a God of peace, and he just loves and accepts everybody for who they are, and he doesn't judge anybody, you know, and so their theological orientation, right, leans in the direction of this tolerance.
You're speaking Unitarian now.
Totally.
Yeah, exactly.
Because the Unitarians would call themselves pacifists.
Right. I think there
all
was
these kinds of things.
Let me shock you a little bit. The Unitarian denomination is very old.
Yeah.
At one time, there was an association with the Brethren.
Yeah.
But when the Brethren started to see their policies or their whatever it is, their orientation, if you will.
And that would have been in the early 1700s,
oh, yeah,
probably, where the divisions began,
exactly,
to become,
exactly,
clear.
But we totally separated. You know,
and so they're peace-oriented.
Yeah, they're all kinds of oriented.
But they would claim similar roots, but they're very different now.
They are totally different because we believe the Word of God, word for word. The Bible is complete.
Hmm.
No difference.
You're listening to the Frederick Faith Debate on Frederick's News Radio, 930 WFMD. The gentleman that just said, very interesting, John Schweitzer, senior pastor of Crossroads Valley Chapel.
Hello.
And the person that said something that made Jonathan say, very interesting, Tim May, the pastor at Pleasant View Church of the Brethren. One of the things, one of the threads that in the argument that Jonathan was making might lead us into something that could take the rest of the show, I don't know, but on the one hand, you're talking about the UN and the socialists and the communists,
yeah,
and really political organizations, political parties, political worldviews, and then a little bit later in the thread of your argument, talking about what is called higher critical liberal theology, you know, whatever label you want to put on that, what is very in vogue these days in academia.
Yeah.
You know,
Princeton, Harvard,
yes,
yeah,
all of those northeastern theological centers, pretty much. Anybody who has PhD after their name and is proud of it and that sort of thing, you've got to be careful to ask them where they stand on these issues, because most of them are going to go to what's called the higher critical, mm-hmm, where they deny the miracles, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't know if those two go together necessarily. I think that they might end up hanging out together, having some common worldview issues going on. And this might shock Jonathan, because we haven't really talked about this specific thing very much, I don't think. So I don't know if he's going to think, where is he going with this?
Yeah.
I think it's quite possible for somebody to be a Bible-believing, quote-unquote, conservative Christian, and somehow see fit to support the UN. To somehow see
I agree.
Be a socialist or a communist.
The part about socialism
and conservative,
and communism,
I mean theologically conservative.
I've wanted to get some people on the show that lean in that direction, because I think there are those out there that are very sincere that lean in that direction, but I can't seem to find ones that are Bible believing Christians that lean in that direction.
True.
And in fact, if there's anybody out there listening to the show, please call.
Sure.
Because I want to have that discussion. Because what I find time and again is that the ones that lean in that direction are the very ones that are, they tend to be pro-homosexual, they tend to be pro-abortion, they tend to not believe that it's wrong to sleep around outside of marriage any longer, you know, that those cultural things have passed away, and you know, that the miracles of the Bible aren't so important. They tend to be, at least in my experience, and I would agree that there might be what you're describing, but I'm looking for them. Where
and
are
I think
they?
There's a reason why they would end up hanging out together, so I'm not totally naive and Pollyanna and think, oh, we could... Yeah, I think that your politics, the way you vote, you've talked about voting Christian, you know, was this week, last week, I don't remember.
Yeah, instead of being Democrat or Republican, vote Christian, yeah.
You know, so, I mean...
Important distinction.
And that will color your political worldview, your theological
sure.
view will color that. So there's a reason they hang out together.
Yeah.
It's like, who's drawn to who, though? I think that those that have a liberal political mindset are drawn to those that have a theological liberalism because... their theology allows them to have a home.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They find a theological home. Oh, mm-hmm. they don't believe in the miracles. They believe in a lot of things that are subjective. They think it's okay to, you know, I believe that homosexuality is okay, and they seem to think that too. So they're drawn there. So they end
sure.
up
they look for
hobnobbing
a home.
Together.
Exactly. In like feminist theologies, and there's a, what's the theology from Latin America? I'm forgetting
liberation
the term.
Theology?
Liberation theologies, you know, black power theologies. They all kind of lean in the direction
sure.
of a socialism, communism, and they tend to not think it's so important that Christ actually rose from the dead, or think it's so
right.
important that there was actually a Moses Exodus event where mm-hmm. he split the waters. What's important is just that we're caught up in the stories and inspired by them, and so then as a result they end up watering down the scriptures,
mm-hmm.
and so
pick
again,
and choosing. I call it pick and choosing. It's
yeah.
a Bible to fit your need.
Yeah,
and
it's Jeffersonian.
Yeah, very much so. And you can't do that. I mean, that's quite
yeah.
obvious if you're practicing or
well, this is the thing.
Christian.
In fact, I've been wanting to get to that mm-hmm. that question to ask it, but I wasn't sure how to do it because you're so peace loving. I didn't want to like break the peace.
I hurt you. You know? I'm going to hurt you so
you know?
Bad.
There you have it. So, anyways, yeah. So I don't know if I'd like to find somebody like that.
Well. I know you're listening.
Yes.
Just pick up
yeah.
the phone,
right.
call, send me an email. Yeah. Troy@WFMD.com. Simple yeah. as that.
Conservative, Christian, Bible-believing.
Communist.
Or,
a communist
or leads
se,
in a socialist, political
why
direction.
Why don't you look for a Marxist? They're easier to find, I think.
yeah,
I think
yeah,
if
just
we,
to throw a couple mean names around.
And, you know, I don't want to get bogged down in this, but I'm trying to envision. Who would that person be? What would their point of view be? They're probably... going to come on and say, I believe the Bible is true and inerrant
yeah.
and all that sort of stuff, but I lean in this socialist direction
this part
because I believe in taking care of the poor and the orphan and the widow and the servicing and taking care
sure.
of those who are without, and that seems to be what socialism helps us to do, and look what happened in Acts with the church, and they all took care of and they shared the resources,
mm-hmm.
and they're going to have that kind of a perspective. I would argue against it from Scripture, and there's reasons why I'm not
sure.
politically a socialist, but I think that would have to be how they would try to marry the two points of view.
Well, I think
anyway.
they would look for any common denominator. I wanted to go back to the question that was posed as, would a brethren, not the brethren church, would a brethren support the UN? One of our, and I'm kind of smiling because one of our tenets, again, is not an ordinance sacrament, is the understanding and the frugality of lifestyles. We were called plain people, again. We don't spend a lot of money. We think that's an important way to live. So would we just throw money away? Absolutely not. Would we support the UN? I personally, not in any way in the world.
Because they don't spend their money while you're saying.
You're right, exactly. They're not wise stewards.
My resistance to supporting the UN is that it causes us to be in a covenant.
It promotes
with people and nations that
right.
that are so different from what the Constitution of the United States
right.
and its values fit. That it would end up subverting our Constitution
right.
and changing us.
But that's a political
who,
issue,
yeah.
not a theological issue, right? There's a difference there.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a political issue, not a
We probably don't have a lot of time to get into great meat on this, but
okay.
I was hoping we'd have more time as we did this series of shows. It came up early.
Okay.
In the very first show, we kind of touched on it. And I got to ask, you mentioned about forward dunking. You're the dunkers.
Yeah, that was one of our nicknames, yes.
Right. The brethren are the dunkers. And you talked about forward dunking, and I think you said triple immersion, right?
Yes,
so you dunk
yes, three times forward.
What, in the name of the Father, dunk. The name of the Son, dunk.
Correct.
Name of the Holy Spirit, dunk.
Correct.
Okay. Interesting.
And we do it with the person on their knees in the water. You're not standing. You're kneeling.
Now, why forward dunking?
We believe that's the way that John the Baptist baptized. Now, the Baptists would believe what, Jonathan? They went backwards.
But how would you, like, I wouldn't know how you would make a case either way.
Well, here's what the point would be. Do you think Jesus Christ cares? I don't.
I think a lot of times it's political politics and churches themselves that all at once.
So there's not a passage of scripture that you think leaves the impression that the guy went face first.
None that I know of.
Because I can't
come up with any.
Yeah, I'm.
Well, I always thought it was
non-committal.
I thought it would be nice to call forward dunkers and backward Baptists. I always thought that was a good thing to be called.
I think it's so murky. There's a play on words.
Yes,
water, right?
Yeah, that is a good one. But I don't think. See,
I think it's so murky that you know
God doesn't
it's
care.
It's left open that sprinkling is okay. So there's clearly no sense of dunking forward.
Well, I think the Bible teaches that you know we're to follow the footsteps of Jesus in that Jesus was baptized in the River Jordan, which is why we use moving water. Now there are more progressive brethren churches that have baptismal.
You know, I just preached on this in the Book of Mark. You know about baptism. In the word baptism, it comes from the word Greek word bap. You know, where you dip the garment and it comes out stained. It's forever changed. You know, and so theologically, the idea is that you are immersed in this new thing that
to come
that
out
you're stained. You're different forever. And so I'm more concerned about the theological sense of it, and so then to do it in a way that it illustrates the theological meaning, you know, like sprinkling. I don't just want to be sprinkled with God,
right?
You know, kind of a nice little sprinkling. I want to be immersed in right. His purposes and His calling. I don't know that I'm absolutely committed that you have to dunk somebody, but I feel like it serves the metaphor well to go ahead and dunk the person
that
come
and
out.
I wasn't trying to get into a whole baptism debate.
Gotcha,
I was
right.
No,
to
but I well, and I think
and why and why triple immersion?
Yeah, yeah. Just I assume just the name of the Trinity,
Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
Sure.
Yeah. But I think let's.
Do you think Jesus was baptized
from
triple immersion?
From memory, I don't think he was. But
from memory,
from memory, hearing God proclaim the prize of His Son, I didn't hear quite that when I was baptized. But
right.
My wife said, "Thank
this
you for that's a good job." But
I'm well pleased.
One of the things is that I think pastors, especially a pastor who can't laugh, get so hooked up in things that whether do I cross myself right or left? Do I make the sign of the cross? Do I wear a collar? I don't wear a collar. I can imagine God, I know, has a great sense of humor. Jesus up there laughing. Look at these fools. Where they're worrying about, you know.
And actually, this is a very pietist instinct that you're describing right now.
Right.
You know, because the world has to do it just
this
right.
This way, right.
And the high churches,
exactly.
You know, with
and
all their vestments.
You know,
for example, that's a very pietist
As a brethren pastor, some wear collars, some don't.
Yeah.
I wear a collar from time to time. Most of the time, I don't. I don't think God, through Jesus Christ, really cares what Tim May's wearing as long as he's proclaiming my gospel to the world.
Apparently, Christ had long hair. What's your problem?
I don't have any hair. But you know, one of the things is here's one of my favorites. You know, I can't make everyone in my church happy. Christ couldn't make 12 happy.
Yeah.
So don't expect me to make 285 happy. Mm-hmm. Think about it.
And
we
if
try.
You do it right and you're like Christ, you're probably going to get crucified.
Exactly. I'm ready.
So, should we, if somebody has considers themselves baptized and they are baptized via immersion,
but
it was backwards, should we recognize them as baptized?
Sure.
If they were baptized via a sprinkling as an infant, should we recognize them as baptized?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. So
I'm willing to do so.
Probably, right?
I tend to encourage people to be baptized by choice.
Yes, rather than by subject.
Though if they were infant baptized and they're very confident in the validity of that for them to be baptized into Christ, I'm not going to argue with them. I'm not going to kick them out of the church.
Nope.
I'm not going to make a
big
deal
about
it.
As I said, we accept that. That's fine.
Yeah.
Again, I think baptism is a personal choice. I much prefer that. Parents seem to baptize children to protect them from dying. Now, I know that may sound terrible to say something like...
Well, that's part of the Roman Catholic leftovers. If you're a Protestant, and if you're a Roman Catholic, currently it's not a leftover. It's part of the Roman Catholic belief system.
I mean,
the sacraments are effective. So if you baptize them, they are saved.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you brought them kicking and screaming, they believe that the sacraments are effective. And so if you want to ensure the salvation of your child before they die, you have them baptized. So that's just... And if anybody's Protestant believes that, it's just a holdover probably from
sure,
that.
Exactly. I think it's more of a myth. I don't mean myth against the Roman Church, but I'm saying I think parents have been that are unchurched that come down and say, well, if we don't baptize little Johnny,
yeah, well,
something
we don't
happens
have time to get into.
Well, that would be a great show.
The big problem is Christendom, confusing the church with Christendom. Mm-hmm. You know, and thinking that you know, well, it's the cultural norm. Of course we need to, you know.
Sure.
You were joking off the air about somebody who had perfect church attendance one week.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's kind of the way America looks at
exactly,
it.
Exactly.
And, I'm a Christian. I went to church. I think it was 1973. It was a March Sunday. It was kind of blustery.
Yeah, remember they gave us oranges? Or no, where they gave us candy. Yeah, I can't remember which one.
So now, wait a minute. That's when I gave blood. Never mind. I'm confusing. So, of course, I have to get my children baptized.
Certainly.
Well, in that sense, you know, is it really a Christian baptism?
It's a myth.
That's a whole other show.
Yeah.
We don't have time. We have 30 seconds. Enough for me to say thank you, John Schweitzer, Senior Pastor of Crossroads Valley Chapel.
Thank you.
Thank you, Tim May, Pastor at Pleasant View Church of the Brethren.
Thank you, Troy. I appreciate it.
Thank you to our sponsor, Putman Plumbing and Heating. How can we make you smile? Please visit us online, WFMD.com, keyword faith. I'm Troy Skinner. You've been listening to the Frederick Faith Debate on Frederick's News Radio, 930 WFMD. God bless.